Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yotet, and we're holding on the second line on the page, Ad Shetehi Ketuva Ashurit. How do we know that we have to write a Megillah specifically in Ashurit? Dechtiv Kichtavam Uchizmanam Al HaSefer Ubidyo. How is it that we know that we have to write the Megillah specifically as if it were a Sefer Torah, with all of those dinim about using correct inks that we spoke about yesterday and the correct kind of parchment, minola? Atya ktiva ktiva. By the way, Tosis speaks out yesterday that we don't use afatzim. And the Gemara yesterday said if you write it on skin that has not been afitz, didn't use gallnuts on it as part of the processing of the skin, so then it's not kosher. So Tosis explains that it's true that we don't use it, but we use instead a different type of processing that actually achieves the same thing. Because the point over here is to make the type of background that cannot be mizdayef. And that's the, we learned in Gittin, it has to be something like we have in modern terms in bank checks. If you try to erase it, it shows up as an erasure. So here too, we're talking about the type of thing that shows up. And we use lime to make the skin in the end brighter and to finish the processing. And that achieves exactly the same thing. V'shalanu ein yochol lizdayef al alavan, says Tosfos. And because of that, it's also just as good as afitz. Continues the Gemara. So we learn it out from Vatichtov Esther Hamalka. We're learning once again on Gezeres Shavah. As we spoke about two times before, there is a question whether do we really mean it as a Gezeres Shavah or do we mean it as a literary analysis of the language, because you can't make a true Gezeres Shavah from the Ketuvim. However, remember that we had Gufa, the Divrei Shalom Ve'emet, that has the same dinim as a Sefer Torah, so maybe Legabi this also, that we give it the halacha of a Gezeres Shavah, that it needs to be Mekubal from the Rav, as Rashi said earlier. So it says on the one of Atikhtov Esther Malka, and it says, Vayom Alem Baruch Mipiv Yikro Elai Et Kol HaDvarim Ha'ele V'Ani Kotev Al HaSefer Bidyo. So we see that the Ketiva, that it says, the story, the horrible story over there was that they heard the Megillah from Yirmiyahu that was telling them about the Churban and with the utter chutzpah. So Yoyakim is cutting out the pieces as they read it and throwing it into the fire. It was a horrible thing. But anyway, so it says over there that they asked Baruch, like, how did you get this Sefer? So he said it to me directly, and I wrote it on a Sefer, but to give it this Kedusha of the Sefer. So the same thing is true of Esther HaMalka's Vatichtol. And now we're ready for Sir Richard, if Sir Richard is ready for us. However, he seems to have taken the yesterday's Gemara very seriously that talked about Nim velo Nim, Tir velo Tir, and he wanted to give us an example of what this does to a person. So Zokter Eilek Mishnah, Ben Ir Shalach Likrach. Remember that we actually have three different Zmanim for Kriyas HaMegillah. One Zman is for the Mukav Choma Mimot Yehoshua Ben Nun. That's called the Krach, if you recall. The other is the regular city dweller, and that is what we called, what we learned out also from the Gezeres Shavah, from the din in the Megillah, that we call these people the people that live in the open cities. Open cities means without, even though it could have a wall, but it's not a wall from Yemos Yehoshua Ben Nun. So these are called the Prazim, which we learn out from the Pasuk, and that's on Yudalit. But we also have, remember, a third Zman of Kriya, which are for Kfarim. So we have Kfarim, Ayarot, and then we have Krachim. And the Kfarim, they go back to the Yom HaKnisa under certain circumstances. So now we want to talk about what defines the status of a particular individual on the day of Purim. And I would suppose he's not in his town on that day. He's somewhere else. Maybe he's visiting a walled city, or maybe someone in a walled city who's visiting a prazim, or maybe it's somebody that lived in a small village, and on Purim, he's in the big city. So what exactly would be his halacha? What would define his halacha? Is it where his house is? Is it where he is? Is it where he is at the time of reading the Megillah? Or is it where he will be at the time of reading the Megillah the next morning? That's going to define where it is that he has to read the Megillah the night before. Actually, it turns out that these questions are some of the most complex halachas that exist. And there are so many different shitas in some of the strange situations in which someone can have more than one Purim, or according to some sheet, does not have any Purim in terms of the Kriyas HaMegillah, that it's actually it looks deceptively straightforward, and it's really quite involved. So the simple reading of the Mishnah seems to make it very easy. Ben ir shalach lekrach, ben krach shalach leir. So suppose he's visiting another town. So then it depends on whether he is planning on going back home. Now, it doesn't say when he's planning on going back home. It doesn't say if he actually went home or if he's just planning on going home, but he never ended up going back home. All of this is very unclear in the Mishnah itself. But whatever it means, the Mishnah Gemara will explain, if he's going to go back to his own place, then even if he's not in his own place, he's still korek mekomo. But im lav, if he's not going back to his own place, then he reads with everybody else. And mihechon korea, damatam megillah v'yotzeban, this is a completely different issue. It has nothing to do with where you are. But the question is, where in the Megillah do you have to start reading from? And as we know, where yotzeban yodechovaso, this has become a byword in English because we paskin like Rabbi Meir. It's the whole Megillah. Exactly. So Rabbi Meir says, et kula. You got to read the whole Megillah. So amazing. So this became now the psak all over the world. Hey, he's telling me the whole Megillah. That's Rabbi Meir shita. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only have to read from the words ish yudi, hayah b'shoshana bira, ushemo, and so on. Rabbi Yossi Eimer? No, you could start much later than that even. You can start from achara, devarim ha'ele, gidalam, elach ha'chashverosh, and so on. So that is leaves you out the whole introductory section, and we just start off with Haman. Or my Rava. And that's the way most people are noyeg, because that's the only time they pay attention, because they have to bang and make noise. So that's why we don't paskin like that. Anyway, or my Rava. Loshanu elashatid lachzor belele yudalid. When the Mishnah says that if he's going to be going back to his place, then he reads from the time where he would have been before. So he's living in Beit Shemesh, and he goes to Yerushalayim. So the question is, does he read on the 15th or does he read on the 14th? And the Mishnah says it depends on whether he's going to go back home. It says, Rava, go back home when? If he's going to go back home during the night of the 14th, and in the morning, when the chalos, the main chalos of the chiyav of reading the Megillah, remember that there are some who are mechadesh, that the original takona of the Megillah was not to read at night at all. It was only to read in the daytime, like the Prima Gadim. But that the Iker Kriya is the Kriya that is done in the morning. And therefore, that's the Kriya that's koveya. This is also the question about whether you make a brach of Shechayanu in the morning, because that's the Iker Kriya, or whether you make the Shechayanu the night before and you yotze like the Sfaradim. But the you know, so we cover it up by saying, well, you have a kavana for the Kriya, not only the Kriya, but also for the mitzvahs, which you didn't have the kavana the night before. In any event, that's dependent really on this issue. When is the Iker of the Takana? Therefore, says Rava, that's what defines it. Are you going to be back before the morning? If you're going to be back before the morning, then you read it, even though you're in Yerushalayim, you have to hear the Megillah on the night of the 14th, because and the Iker Chiyuv, you're going to be back in Beit Shemesh on the 14th in the morning. But if you're not going to get back during the night, even though at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be driving back to Beit Shemesh, then you have to hear the Megillah in Yerushalayim, both times, night and day. So then Korei Imahem, it's a machlokes rishonim, whether this means literally Korei Imahem, which means that you can't go home, you have to stick around in Yerushalayim until after you hear the Kriya, which is the Rivat Shita, or whether it just means you have to read at the time, which is the way most paskins. It doesn't, you can go back and you read, even though you're not in your place, but you read as if it's in the place. Amar Rava, I'll show you why I'm saying this, because it says, now, I mean, you got to admit, that's one of the most redundant things you ever heard in your life, no? Therefore, the Jews who live in the cities that are prazim, what is that supposed to mean? So why do I need to go back and repeat it? You just said, Hayudim ha-prazim. What does that mean? Hayudim ha-prazim means the open city Jews. So then why do you have to explain what you mean and say, Hayoshvim ba-rei ha-prazot? Ah, that's the chiddush, Shakam Ashmalan, that even a paruz ben yomo is nikra paruz. So that if you are just in that open city today, and you're only living there one day, that's okay. You're still called Hayoshvim ba-rei ha-prazot, even though you're not technically Hayudim ha-prazim, and you're getting your tax bills from some other city, it doesn't matter. Today, you are Yehudim ha-prazim. And therefore, I say that this is what defines it. Hey, but that's all very nice when you're talking about it, the Paruz, but how do you know it works in the opposite direction as well? It doesn't say anything about, in the Megillah, about a Mukav ben Yomo, does it? So how do I know that it applies to the Mukav Binalan? Svaru. I mean, that's just logical. Once the Megillah makes dependent the status of the person's Kriya on the day, so then, I mean, it makes sense that it would be true in the opposite direction as well. So if a Paruz Ben Yomo is Nikra Paruz, so then a Mukav Ben Yomo should be Nikra Mukav. Now, the question is, what about the third day of Kriya? The third day of Kriya is for people who live in a Kvar. And that means that they do not have their own minyan kavua that's going to be able to lane, and therefore they need to, or they are given the right to go back to the Yom HaKnisa. What happens if you change your status in that? That the Mishnah did not discuss at all. And therefore, says Rava, ben kvar shalach le'ir, ben kachu ben kach kore imayam. My taima, ha'kivnei ir boi lemikre. Why am I saying that if somebody lives in a village, and even if he ended up laning, this is important because it's going to be nogea halacha lemaisa for us, as we'll see in a moment when we discuss this. The guy read on the previous Monday or the previous Thursday. Now, on Purim itself, on Yodalid, he went to visit the big town. And in the big town, of course, is only big enough to have a minion, but fine. So he went to visit the big town. So the question is, does he have to lane again because now he's in the big town on the night of the 14th or on the day of the 14th? Over there, it doesn't matter, says Rava. If it's the nighttime, if it's the daytime, the bottom line is he's going to have to read the Megillah on the next day, on the 14th. Because, what's my reasoning? Because in reality, says Rava, this guy's time to read the Megillah was fundamentally, remember, the only 2 days that are mentioned in the Megillah. Okay, so we darshan from those extra remazim, that it's manim, kizmanim, whatever we darshan, kayamim. So that means that mi'ikar hadin, he's really a ben ir, and we gave him this additional right. The way that we put it was we fixed that up, but in order to have them available for the pizza deliveries and so on Purim, right? Now we understood it doesn't really mean that. But that's the way that the writer phrased it, l'chatchila, so we keep saying that. So that's only where he really is in trouble, because he's in his village and he doesn't have the opportunity to go in his own area to read it on the 14th. But if he's in town, so then he has his ikar din and he has to read it the way that the original takana was. So therefore, ki ite bi'ir, kivnei'ir boi lamikre. So then he would have to, and as Tosfos says, boy, that's weird, because he ends up laning twice. So he has to hear the Megillah twice, according to this. Sounds strange, but nonetheless, it appears to be that there's no alternative, and Tosfos speaks out. Okay. Eitve Abaye, so Abaye asks on Rav, it says over here, ben krach shalach le'ir, ben kach korei kibikoma. Now, this obviously something's wrong with this brisa. I mean, this brisa says that if you live in a mukav choma, which we call a krach for short, that then it doesn't matter whether you're there on the night or you're there in the day, you're always going to be reading kimikomo. Now, that's against the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah said before that's not true. So this is absurd. I mean, ben krach, that's got to be a mistake. Could it possibly be referring to Ben Krach? I mean, didn't the Mishnah say, Be'imatid lachzorta yamiltet? All is dependent on what your plans are. Now, do I mean what your plans are? Or what really happens to you? When it is that you're going to come back? That is a big machlokas. The Rif Shita is that it actually is a function of what your plans are and not what really happened. So what defines you as the Ben Kvar or as the Prazi Ben Yomo or the Mukav Ben Yomo is whether you were planning to get back home. If you get stuck in a traffic jam or you get diarrhea or whatever the heck it is and you don't leave town, says the Rif, that doesn't change anything. It's all defined by your das. Now, there's a lot of discussion among the Achronim when the Rif says what your plans are. What does he mean? What your plans are when you came to town or what your plans were in the middle of the night or how exactly do we define what your plans are? Or is it before you left? But in any event, this is a big machlokas. We don't end up paskening like this. We don't end up paskening like the Ravid. But there are those who say we should definitely be machber in a case where it's going to come out that you read the Megillah. Maybe you should read the Megillah both times, just in case. So anyway, as Abaya points out, there's something wrong with the Braita. So it can't possibly mean a Ben Krach because that's dependent on Imatid Lachzor. So therefore, it must be wrong Girsa. And when it said Ben Krach, what it really meant was Ben Kvar. And it says over here that Ben Kvar Shalach Le'ir, that he's Kore Kimikomo, which means he does not have to read again. He reads it like he's, if he's still in his village. Not like you said, Rava. Says the Gemara, come on, Abaye, you just agreed that the whole Braisa is wrong, right? So you fix it up. So thank you very much for fixing it up in a way that makes my Shita no good. So how about if you just keep fixing it a little bit, you know? Fix it more. Lofty roots in Taratsta. So fix the end also. When it says Kore Kimakomo, it means Kore Imayem. Okay. So it actually means the opposite of what it's saying. Mehechad Kore Adamata Megillah. Tanya Rabbi Shimon. Oh, wait a minute. Before we go ahead, I mean, I just think that since this is so really, complex and there's so many issues that are involved, that it is kedai for us just to go through a little bit of the shitas, as I was telling you. Okay, so we have the Rif, and that means that even in the end, according to the Rif, and the Rif is not the only one who says this, the Rabbeinu Hananel says this, the Ravid agrees with this also, that even if in the end you ended up staying, but that was not your das, you still are considered to be chayev, like the place where you were, and not the place where you are. Now, this is not everybody else's shita. And if it's totally in your das, so as I mentioned, there's a question of what point is your das defined? Is it the time that you got into the car to leave? And that would be the das. That seems to be the das of the rush. And then it would all go according to this. So then even if you ended up staying, that's basically the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it. And some say that, no, it depends on what your das was at the beginning of the Leil Yudalit. So even if you went to stay, but you knew at the beginning of Leil Yudalit that it wasn't going to work out, so then it goes according to there. Okay. That the Chazon Ish argues with the Mishnah Berurah, yields that that's what it means. And there's also a machlokas, because according to the Chazon Ish, it depends why you ended up staying. If you ended up staying by accident, that's not considered to be a change. But if you changed your mind and decided to stay, that's when, says the Chazon Ish, the Rif was saying that it goes, that there it would go according to what actually happened, because you changed your mind. Okay. Now there's another question about whether, what if you left out of the ear and milachatchila, you wanted to come back. So as I say, the question over there is about whether it's nogea. Once you left, even though your das was, you left town before the morning, even though milachatchila, you were going to stay there, that you do not have to read the Megillah on the 14th at all. And that's basically the way most of the poskim today hold. Now, what about the opposite? We have this idea. This idea is the Ben Ir, the Ben Krach, Shalach Le'ir. What about the opposite? a ben ir is hoilech lekrach. So now the question is, what defines it? Rashi says here, right here on the daf, that what defines it is where it was that your das was to be at the beginning of the 15th in the morning. If at the beginning of the 15th in the morning you were going to be in the krach, so then even though you were a ben ir, it's defined by the 15th, which is very interesting, because even though you were at the 14th, you were in a place where you were going to be chayef to read on the 14th because you're a ben ir. It doesn't matter, because after all, you were going to be on the 15th when the chalos on the 15th, you were going to be in the krach. Whoa. That's Rashi's approach. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah paskins like that. And not only that, but he says, even if you went back to town, to your little town, before Alot HaShachar in the end, since at the beginning of the night, that was your das, you were mischayev in the 15th skriya and not in the 14th skriya. So that is the approach of Rashi. The approach of the Rush is that, of course, it's defined, if you live in a small town, it's defined by the day of the 14th. And if you were basically there, if you were in the Mukaf, fine, then I understand you weren't in your own place. Because look, in the Megillah, isn't everything defined by the Prazim, not by the Mukafim? So if the main point is that you're a Prazi, so then what's the difference if your plan is to be on the 15th? So therefore, if you're really there, you became chayev over there. So if the ben ir goes to the krach, and he's chayev now to read on the 15th, what happens if he didn't read on the 15th and he goes back to his city? He still reads on the 15th in his city. But as I mentioned to you earlier, the Ravid says, no, you're mechuyev to stay there. You have to read there. You can't go back and read where it was that you ended up being. You're mechuyev, when it says korei imayhem, it means literally komei imayhem. And that's goofy. He brings a raya from the Yerushalmi that is definitely, the Yerushalmi speaks that out beferish. Now, can you be chayev to read the Megillah twice? So now that we already saw in our sugya over here with the story that Rashi Tosfos talk about of the Ben Kfar. If you lived in a little village, you already read on the previous Monday, and now you're back in the big city on Purim itself, you would have to read again, which means that it is possible to be reading a Megillah twice. So let me ask you this. Suppose you live in Yerushalayim, and you end up being in Beit Shemesh, and you were going to be there in the morning, and then that night, or during the rest of the day, you go back to Yerushalayim, which many people do. Do you have to read again? So that is a question, because in Yerushalmi, it's even though Yerushalmi is talking about a case where a guy moved his residence, he actually moved his home on the night of the 15th. But Lamaisa, the Ran says, based on that, it would be the same thing. And you would have to read twice, which is amazing. So if you're going to be machmer to do that, as many paskin, be machmer to do that, but don't say it with a bracha, because most of the Rishonim don't hold that way. And even if you make a bracha, you should make a shechiyanu. Rib Shloime Zalman paskin beferish your mechuyev to even make a bracha. And that it's vadai a chiyev to read again. So your mechuyev to read the Megillah twice with a bracha, according to him. But he was misupik whether you make a shechiyanu again. He said not to make a shechiyanu. Okay, that's pretty amazing. Now, how about in the inverse? Is it possible not to have a Purim at all? So let's imagine a case where you have somebody who is in Yerushalayim and he is in Beit Shemesh and he was planning on getting back to Yerushalayim in the nighttime. Okay, so in that case, he's going to go back to the krach, so he's not mechuyev to read on the 14th because he's planning to be back in Yerushalayim. But suppose on the 15th, he does not make it back to the krach. So then he doesn't become chayev on the 15th either. That's what the Chazanish says. So he ends up without a Purim. Okay, I mean, others also argue on that. Like the Mardim Vizmanim says, look, I mean, be'etzem you're chayev. There's no such thing as not being chayev on Purim. So what this is just to define what you would be in the event that you're not going to have your main Purim, but you certainly remain fundamentally a chayiv betesvav, right? I mean, that's similar to the idea of the guy in the village. Fundamentally, his chayiv of Purim is on the 14th. Okay, so that's also fascinating kinds of issues. And when it comes to Purim Mishulash, oh boy, as you can imagine, that becomes a lot more complex. Okay, but anyway, we've raised some of the fascinating issues, as you could see, and halacha lemaisa, you better ask your local Orthodox rabbi who probably won't have the slightest idea. Anyway. Continuing on. So the next thing that we had in the Mishnah is, where do we read the Megillah from? Meheichan korei adam et ha-Megillah. We had three shitot so far. Is it the whole Megillah, or is it dafka from after the original introduction, but you have to start reading from Ish Yehudi, where over there we introduce Mordechai, or do we read from the Gidel HaMelech HaKashverosh et Haman? And now we have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who adds a four shita. The four shita is Balai Lahu. And that's where you read from, because that was when things really started popping. And that was like the opening of the Nes. So that's where we say it from. Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that all four shitas are based on the same pasuk and a different understanding of what the pasuk is. Kula mikra achad dorshu. Does it say in the pasuk, Vatiktov Ester HaMalka uMordechai HaYehudi et kol tokev? Kol tokev. What does kol tokev mean? The whole power. So what is the whole power exactly? Ah, that's the question. So Rabbi Meir, who said kula, he understands kol tokev means the tokev shall Achashverosh, because after all, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh is the opening, and, oh my gosh, at the end of the Megillah, we discover that that same Achashverosh is Samas ala Oretz v'yeyayam. So somehow or other, that's what the Megillah is about, the whole Megillah. So you have to start with Achashverosh, and you have to end with Achashverosh. It's quite amazing. Whereas the man, the Omar, Mi Ish Yehudi, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, Kol Tokef is the power of Mordechai and the way that Mordechai came and how it all started. And he had in mind that Ish Yehudi, Ayah B'Shoshan HaBiran, he was Golami Atzmo, and he was the Boki and the Lashinus. And wow, that old story. So that's the focus on the Belval story. And that's Mordechai. What about if you hold Achar HaDvorim Ele? So there, it's the Tokef of the Tzorer HaYehudim. So here is the whole story of Haman and what happened to him and so on. And what about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? Balai Lahu is the tokef of the Nes itself. And that's when things really started happening, was at that moment. That's all four shitas. Rav Huna says, no, that's not the point. It's not about tokef. You know what it's about? It's about the strange words, really strange. Alkein karu layamim ha'ela purim al shem ha'pur. Al Kain al Kol Divrei Haigeret Hazot. What? Umara Ual Kacha Umahigialehem. What did they see about this and what happened to them? What kind of strange, what is that? Ah, says Ravuna, that's the whole point. You need to figure out what the development of the characters were. What were they thinking? Why were they thinking it? And what happened to them because of what they were thinking. So I'm leaving it up in the air, because after all, we're talking about Haster Haster. You got to figure it out through this Megillah. So it's, what an amazing pasuk, the way Rav Huna sees. It's astounding. So you have to know what they were thinking. So what did they see to do such things? Mara'u al kacha. Must have been a mistake somewhere. Or a good plan somewhere, umayigialayim. That's the machloka, says Rav Huna. So therefore, let me explain to you each one of them. Mandi omar kula. So the question is, how did this whole thing start? Why did Achashverosh take out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and so on? That's because of the beginning of the sugya, al kacha. That was the whole big cheshbon that we made about the 70 years. You thought that that was just like a drasha in the Gemara. Well, I got news for you. That was the whole point of the Megillah. Mara'u al kacha. Okay, so he made that mistake. why was it a mistake? You got to figure out why it was a mistake. Take a look what that mistake caused. So that was the whole story. That's the reason that the Bosatan came to him, and that's why Vashti was destroyed. That's how Esther got put in. You need to be able to trace the steps to the way people are thinking. Wow. Whew, that's like a totally different Megillah. Okay, so that's the main issue. So Mara Achashverosh Nishtamesh Bekelim Shabbat HaMikdash Al Kacha. Because he made the mistake of Shivim Shnin Velo Yifrek. So what happened? Ma'igi Alayam, Dekato Vashti. Now, what about the Mandi Amro? It says, Ish Yudi, Ayabashushana Bira. That means, Mara'a Mordechai. Something is weird. This Mordechai goes out there, and he just seems to goad on this Tzorera Yudim. Like, why would somebody normal go and goad him on? So Mara'a Mordechai, what did Mordechai think when he was being ikni ba'aman? He got Haman all angry and jealous of him. Al-kacha, you need to understand the between the texts, the shavi nafshi avodah zara. The whole point over here was the attempt of Haman to destroy this dveikus in an Hashem Echad, and he turned himself into an avodah zara. Umay gialayem? The end result was that when you stand up for Ish Yehudi, he's called Yehudi because he's kafir b'avodah zarah, Mai Gialayam, all of this wonderful mace, the Yisrachish Nisa. What about, according to the Mani Omer, it says, Achar hadavorim ha'eleh. So then, Mara'a Haman shnitkaneh b'kol ha'yehudi. Why was Haman angry in this way to try to undo the entire nation? Al-kacha, mishum demordachai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. What, this makes sense? That somebody who's at the pinnacle of his career and he's got everything he could possibly want, he should say, Kol Zeno Shoveli, it's not worth it, damn. I can't stand seeing that Jew doesn't... What does that say about the psychology of Amalek? What does it mean? Like, how is it possible for a person to be so mad and to be able to achieve so much in that madness? Exactly what we saw in the Second World War. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. Mara al kacha. And in the end, ma'igyalehim. So it was this Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh means that this undermines his entire existence. Umayigyalehim. Ma'igyalehim was that talutov et parav ala etz. And what about, according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Balai Lahu? Well, Mara Achashverosh Levi et Zichronot, Sefra Zichronot. Because that's what started everything, right? That must be, something must have happened to his mind that all of a sudden he's interested in figuring out whether he owes anybody anything. That's Al Kochad, the Zimante Esther Lahaman Bade. Since now for the second party, she invites Haman. So because of this, he becomes very suspicious. Umayi gialayem, and what happened through those events? This rachish nisa. Om Reb Chaba bar Guri, Om Rav Halacha k'divrei Omer kula. The halacha is the whole Megillah. Vafilu man diomar mi'ish Yehudi, as we saw before, even if you hold you only have to read from Ish Yehudi. And obviously, even if he's saying, even if you hold that you only have to read from Achar Dvarim Ela and so on. But the halacha is that what it is that you read from has got to be a kosher Megillah. We're only talking about what do you read out of that kosher Megillah. But the Megillah has nothing to do with what you're reading from. So even according to them, certainly, tzricha shtei ketuvakula, the whole Megillah has to be sitting there in front of you. The Omer Reb Chaba, Omer Reb Chama bar Guri, Omer Rav. A Megillah has a ambivalent status. Because on the one hand, didn't we just learn that it's called a sefer? Nichtav a sefer. And that was the whole thing that we said gives it a din of a sefer. Yet on the other hand, it's called the Igeret HaPurim. Now, an Igeret is bedafkin, not a sefer, because a sefer has the meaning of a scroll that is written with those particular issues of the Sefer Torah, whereas an Igeret is just like an open thing that, you know, when you're making a proclamation, you're reading a letter, you let the letter roll down and you're holding it like that, which is why, of course, we unroll the Megillah, because it's supposed to be an Igeret. So, basically, these are two different halachas, and on the one hand, it's called a Sefer, and on the other hand, it's called a Megillah. So, how do you explain that? It's Nikrate Sefer in terms of how it's held together. And that means im tafra b'chutei pishtan psula, it's like a Sefer Torah. You can't sew up its parts with just threads. You have to use gidim. And it's also called an igeret. Shimhito b'shlosha chutei gidim ksheira, as opposed to a Sefer Torah, it's supposed to be sewed up all the way, leaving a little bit open on top and the bottom. But over here, you could basically sew it up like a loose leaf. So you've got these three gidim that hold it, like the loose leaf holds it. So it's loose, and it's more like an igeret. And that would be sufficient. Oh, my Rav Nachman, yeah, it would be sufficient, but it would be vach yu meshulashim. But in this big machlokasim, what does meshulashim mean? Now, according to Rashi, meshulashim means that you break up the distance as from the top to the first stitch, and then everything is the same as from the last stitch to the bottom and the two stitches in the middle. This is the same machlokas that we have lagabe the orei miklat. What does meshulashim mean, orei miklat? It means it has to be equidistant from any point, in which case there should be twice as much space between the two cities that are next to each other as opposed to the city that's next to the gvul. But there also Rashi says that no, it actually means equidistant from top to first, first to second, second to third, and third to the bottom gvul. The Rambam learns that it is like a loose leaf, but it's like a European loose leaf, in which each hole actually has three holes. So you have three, three, and three. Not like there's three major loose leaves in the world, as you know. We could call it the Israeli loose leaf, which has two holes, the American loose leaf, which has three holes, and the European loose leaf, which has nine holes. Anyway, so then there's also the question of how precise Meshulashim means, and there's some that say that it means top, middle, and bottom, which is a big problem from later on. Anyway, Pashas is like Rashi, which is what we do. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, HaKorei B'Megillah, Ketuvah, Bein HaKetuvim, Lo Yatzah. Another fascinating halacha. We had this problem in Orach Chaim, as you recall. If you have a Sefer, like the Sefer Haftorahs, which have the whole, we'll have all of the Nevi'im. We have a Sefer, all of the Ketuvim, or a Sefer with everything. It doesn't matter. But the point is that this Megillah itself just looks like part of a book that you're reading. So then you're missing out on the Holy Gerit jazz completely, because, I mean, it doesn't have any specific identity of something that you're proclaiming. Somebody who sees you reading from that, you know, I mean, it's like you're reading out of Torah, like anything else. There's nothing that is specially Megillah-oriented there. So you would not be Yotze, Lo Yatza. Oh, my Rava, wait. It doesn't mean under all circumstances. You could make it a little bit shorter or a little bit taller than the other pages, so then it sticks out, and then it's obvious that you've just included it in a group of other things, but that it stands out. So as long as it stands out, that's enough. That's what we ended up doing in Orach Chaim, is cut it down so that it ended up being obvious that it was a separate sefer. So then it would be kosher. Avu b'chasro miyato purt, even a little bit. You make it obvious that it's something different, then less on, but then we don't really care. Now, there's a whole machlokas over here about whether this is true only biyochid, only barabim, I mean, or even if it's biyochid. And since there are many who hold that this is a din davka, where you're reading it barabim, and according to the Ran, even barabim, you'd be yotze b'dieved. It doesn't mean you're not yotze at all. But b'yochid, you can do even l'chatchila. But there are others who hold that you're not yotze. And it's mashma from the Rif, and sometime in the Rambam, that you wouldn't be yotze even b'dieved, and that the machlokas, when it comes to the yochid, is whether you're allowed to do it even l'chatchila. Or maybe by the yochid, the machlokas is, would you be yotze if you did do it? But anyway, this makes an afkamina la'alocha. Why? Because suppose you're reading, I'm saying for just normal halacha, for people that don't get into this particular problem, because there's another issue that is dependent on this, as I just mentioned before, and that's the unrolling to make it look like a proclamation. So then the shaila is, if this halacha of making it obvious that it has a din of a letter is only said but tzibur, then if you are reading for an individual and not for a tzibur, then you don't unroll the Megillah the way you would in the tzibur, turning it into this long bent over letter. And you could just read it from a scroll because we're only makpid on the Sansibar. And many people indeed, halakha lemaisa, when they read for one person, for a small group of people, but it's not at Sibur, they're not makpid to unroll the Megillah in that way, gufa, because of these shitas. And Levi Bar Shmuel was reading a Megillah in front of Rav Yehuda, and he was reading that Megillah out of a Megillah that was written Ketuvah ben Ketuvim. So he was pretty shocked, because l'chora you're not Yotzi if you read it when it's Ketuvah ben Ketuvim. Omalei hare omra akorei b'Megillah Ketuvah ben Ketuvim lo yatzai didei chovato. Omra b'chia barav omra b'yocha. Hakorei b'Megillah Aktuvah min aktuvim lo yatsa, but mochula amocha, as we said before. The question is how far this is nogea, because even though it sounds like it's always, he's put a hole through its brain, meaning he made it sound like it was, whoa, it's like a mikra din, and then he says, no, it's only betzibur, biyochid, we don't mind. As I said, it's machlokas what that means, biyochid, we don't mind even lechatchila, or biyochid, it means b'diavad, yoyotzi, whereas betzibur, wouldn't that, we mentioned that machlokas. Another thing that Rabbi Yochanan did in a way that's sort of weird, where he says halacha, then he undermines his own halacha. So first he says it like very powerfully, and they say, yeah, but not really. So another thing that he said like that was that Omer Rabbi Barav, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shiur HaTefer Halacha Lemash Misinai. So that, you know that halacha that you've got to have a little bit on top of the Sefer Torah, top and bottom isn't sewed together. Right. So that way, if you pull the Sefer Torah too tight, it starts coming apart at the bottom and at the top, but it doesn't just tear. Well, that's halacha lemash misinai. You better make darn sure that you do it that way, says Rabbi Yochanan. But then, mochula mocha, psst, lo omra kadei shelo yikareya. The truth is, they only said that in order to make sure the Sefer Torah wouldn't tear, but got to make sure that people actually do that. The omra p'chia barav omra Yochanan. You're talking about leaving a little space for mistakes. Well, let me tell you something. If there would have been a little tiny hole through the wall of the Ma'ara that Moshe Rabbeinu was in when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed in front of him, but you have to be v'sabticha b'nikrat atzur. And you have to stay in the Nikrat Atzur. The same thing happens with Eliyahu HaNovi. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows him the same thing, puts him into that same Ma'ara. So suppose there had been a tiny little pinhole opening. Il Malei Nishtayer, even the slightest, B'Ma'ara Shamad B'Moshe B'Eliyahu K'mlo Nekev Machat Sitkis. Machat Sitkis is a very thin needle that you use for delicate needlework. They would have been burnt to a sizzle from the light that came in. And it doesn't matter if it's a pinhole or not. What exactly does it mean when we're talking about the Luchos, that all of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been mitzava, Moshe, everything that was spoken to you on Har Sinai, this means, what a call on Devarim. I mean, it says what it says. No, no. Melamed Sher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all kinds of things between the lines. And remember, Sadia Gaon has a whole sefer explaining how all of the mitzvahs are dafka kolol in the Aseres HaDvarim. And as the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi, remember about the multiplexing, that the entire Teresh Shabbat Peh, Teresh Shabbat Iksav, everything was written between the lines. And when the Gemara asks, how could it fit there? It says, you ever heard of multiplexing? Waves and little waves and little waves that are on top of those waves and so on. It's easy to include all the information you want. Try getting optical fiber in your house. You'll see how good it works. So it's really quite amazing. Imagine how much is going over exactly those little wavelets. Fine. So what were Kol HaDvarim? This shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to Moshe Rabbeinu the Dikduke Torah, all of the Dikdukim that we have from all of the words of Ach and Rak and Es and Gam and all of those extra words and the Vavs, everything that was put in, those are Dikdukim in Torah Shebaksav. And Dikduke Seferim, all of the ways in which you need to understand a Mishnah, everything that is in a Mishnah, and Komash is Sofrim Atidim Lechadesh, whatever the Divrei Seferim are going to be, the Chidushim in the future, What are you referring to over there? Mikra Megillah, obviously. So Mikra Megillah, Kimu Vekiblu, that was all the way back on Har Sinai. And you'll notice that our missing Richie has done tshuva. And in order to make certain that he's there at the beginning, he actually came 10 minutes before to be ready with the introduction to this Mishnah. And
Rebbe, the web telescope that's now unfolding, it has a special protection against the sun because otherwise it would fry. On the other side, it has to be so low. If we have a hole like this, it would ruin everything. It's a great muscle.
Excellent. You're right. You're right. Okay. And speaking of Parker probes, we've got the same issue going on over here. Richie is ready to show us what just... Wonderful. It just goes to show how much greater the person becomes after doing teshuvah than before. Let's say Richie would have been there before. Would have been one of these, Zakta Elika Mishnah. Now, we've got Kol HaTorah Kula in that one introduction. Hakol Kesherim Likrot Et HaMegillah. Anybody can read the Megillah for the Tzibur. And remember that we learned that this is Hakol HaTuyemai. Latuye Noshim, that women can read the Megillah. Question, does that mean she can read the Megillah for a man? Is it the same Chiyav? We spoke about the question whether there is a difference between Likrot or Lishmoa the Megillah, which we'll get back to. The only one who can't is a Cheresh Sheit Vekotan. Now, what does a Cheresh mean? Well, all over Shas, a Cheresh means somebody who cannot hear and cannot speak. He's a deaf mute. I think he would have a rough time reading the Megillah for the Tzibur if he's a deaf mute. So obviously when it says cheresh over here, it means that he's deaf. He's not in the least bit mute, and he's able to read the Megillah beautifully and so on. So this is not your normal cheresh shait of a cotton, which you mean it. So then why is he potter? A cheresh is chayav in kol mitzvah shebetera. Why would there be a difference in just a cheresh of medaber v'ena shemeya? Where do we find that there's such a halacha? But here, the cheresh that is medaber is put in the same category as the sheit v'katan in terms of his ability to be meitzi. And Rabbi Yehuda says a katan is actually able to read for the tzibors. We've got some interesting new ideas over here. And the pashta says that since it's put together with sheit v'katan, so then it means even b'diavad. So who is a tana that would say that someone who can speak, but he's just unable to hear, that he would be poso bidi avad? Where would that come from? Amr of Masna, that is going like a sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Because remember, we had this whole machlokas back in Brochas. Suppose you read Kriyat Shema and you whisper it. You don't hear the words. So lo ish miyala ozno. Tanakama oz yotze. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're not yotze because it's a Shema and that means you have to hear it. Lo yatsa means afidu bidei avad. So if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yossi, it would make sense that in order to be able to be yotze with a kriya, you would have to be able to hear your own words. The L'chora, he's the one who said the Mishnah. Wait, is it true though, la'alacha? Is it possible even b'diavad? I mean, maybe that's not what's meant over here. What makes you think it's going alib the Rabbi Yossi, who holds that it would be possible afilu b'diavad? Maybe it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And it's telling me dafka lechatchilo hudelo ha'diavad chapin dami. If you did it, so it could be that it was a kosher kriya samagila. Says Igmar, no, lo sakadaitach. Look at the context. It says cheresh shay tevikata. So that means they're basically on the same. Just like the Sheit V'Katan is not Yotze at all, as we know, he's not chayav in any mitzvahs. So Af Cheresh, it must mean in this context the same thing. I mean, that's not such a proof. I mean, look, when you're coming to be memayit something, you want to say, everybody but, doesn't mean that the but is for the same reason, does it? You're just coming to tell me, everybody but it could be, how could he eat the how could he eat? I mean, there's different kind of buts. But you can't say he's kosher for Kriyas HaMegillah, but it doesn't mean necessarily he's going to be b'diavad, also puzzle. So that doesn't prove anything. Maybe the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, and not going Aliba to Rabbi Yossi. can't be Reb Yehuda, because the Sefer introduces Reb Yehuda, who argues on the Mishnah. The Sefer says Reb Yehuda is machshir b'katan. Now that makes it very clear that the beginning of the Mishnah was not going aliba to Reb Yehuda, and therefore it's got to be Reb Yossi. I understand. Couldn't it all be Reb Yehuda? Rashi takes out these next words because, I mean, it's really a little bit silly. So, you know, first the Gemara is suggesting maybe it is Reb Yehuda, and then the Gemara should ask the Kasha, how could it be Reb Yehuda? First it says a cut in his postal, then it says a cut in his car, but it's sort of obvious. So Rashi takes out that piece, and he just puts the whole thing together. V'dilma kula Reb Yehuda, he and Reb Yehuda is saying there's two different types of a katan. And the Mishnah is just missing those words. It's basically coming to tell you, now, put in these words. What type of katan are we talking about? A katan who is so young that he's still not chayev to do things in terms of chinuch. But once a katan is a gil chinuch, so then since the kriya samagila is a derabbanan, and the chiyav on that cotton of chinuch is a derabbanan, so a derabbanan can be motzi a derabbanan, and therefore the cotton would be kosher under those circumstances, says Reb Yehuda. By the way, there's a very interesting side point over here, and that is that Rashi says that what do we mean that he's higia l'chinuch? Well, it's like we said in Yuma, that if the cotton is 9 or 10, then he has to start fasting. Everybody has some Rashi fasting. What does fasting have to do with the issue of Igiel Achinuch? Igiel Achinuch is for each thing according to what the Chinuch of that thing is. But remember that Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim. And that's the interrelationship of Purim and Yom Kippur. It's just another very fascinating, like off the wall kind of relationship. But anyway, so therefore there would be a difference because a katan continues the Mishnah with what we're putting in. Ava b'katan she Igiel Achinuch afilo lechatchila. Why? Now just put in the letter shin. Just say Reb Yehuda, not Reb Yehuda's machshir, but she Reb Yehuda machshir bekatan, because Reb Yehuda's machshir bekatan. And the Rabbanan still argue why? Because, as Tosfos says, it's called trei derabbanan. It's a dual derabbanan. Because, first of all, the mitzvah itself is only a derabbanan. Kriyas HaMegillah. And then the fact that a katan is chayav in mitzvahs, when is he Gia L'chinuch, is itself a Darabonon. So you can't have a dual Darabonon, Rabbonon Chiyav on a mitzvah Darabonon, can't be Motzi, somebody who is Chayav in mitzvahs, even Midiraisa, and has a mitzvah Darabonon. That's a fascinating machlokes. Fine. Okay, so now how are you trying to learn the Mishnah? Tell me. You're trying to say that the Mishnah is going a little bit rebuta, and that you're making the understanding of the Mishnah be based on a B'dievet. Right? You're saying that it would be kosher on the B'dievet, but Reb Yehuda doesn't think that that's the right way to do it. We're not going like Reb Yossi. I mean, Reb Yehuda. So Reb Yehuda, you're saying, he would say, look, l'chatchila, you shouldn't have it, but B'dievet, it would be kosher. Problem is, how then do you explain Reb Yehuda, B'reid Reb Shimon ben Pazi, who says that a cheresh amidaber ve'eno shomea, he should be the one that can take off truma, even though when you take off truma, you're supposed to make a bracha, and he can't make the bracha. He's eno shomea, nonetheless. Why can't he make the bracha? Because he can't hear what he's saying. So he can still be term l'chatchila because he doesn't need to make the bracha in a way that he can hear it. Now tell me who said that. Who shita is that? Is it Reb Yehuda? I thought you just said, no, Reb Yehuda agrees l'chatchila, you should be able to hear what you're saying. And that's goof of the pshat in our mission. It's not going like Reb Yossi. But I thought according to Reb Yehuda, it's only b'diavad. It's not l'chatchila. So how come it says over here l'chatchila? Toreim l'chatchila. He should say, no, we need somebody to make the bracha. If it's going on Libet Reb Yossi, so then for sure it's ridiculous. He holds even B'diavad, it's not kosher. So then it must be that Reb Yehuda actually holds even, because we only know two shitas. It's Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi, so it must be that Reb Yehuda agrees that it's even a l'chatchila, in which case that truma halacha is going like Reb Yossi, but then that means the Mishnah is actually... You're tining that it was going like Reb Yehuda, but it's not true. Can't be going like Reb Yehuda. He must have been making a mistake. Excuse me? And what do you think? no matter what you learn, we're going to run up with a problem. Because you want to say that what? That the Truma is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds even L'chatchila, you don't need to be Shomea. So now what are you going to do about this halacha, huh? There's a braita that says, Lo yivarech adam birkat amazon b'libo. A person should not say birkat amazon in his heart. In his heart does not mean that he's not actually saying things. It just means that he doesn't hear it, because otherwise it enters into a completely new sugya, which is whether a maharher is here or kedibur. That's not what we're talking about. We're assuming all over here is not kedibur. And so when it says belibo, it doesn't mean behirhur. It means you're saying it to yourself, but you don't hear the words. You're moving your lips. That's what it means. So that was like v'chana midaberat aliba, right? So she's speaking. She's not a big maharheret. V'im birech, if a person said birkas hamazon in that way, he's yotze. Now you're in big problem over here, because who does this go according to? It's not going to anybody. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you said even l'chatchila there's no problem. And that's why the Braisa of Truma says even l'chatchila. So then it can't be him. It can't be Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds even b'diavad you wouldn't be Yossi, and therefore you're not Yossi, you're Birkat HaMazon. So obviously there's a third shita. There's one shita that is saying that you could do the Truma even l'chatchila. There's another shita that's saying you can't do Birkat HaMazon l'chatchila. And there's a third shita that's saying that even b'diavad you're not going to be Yossi. So don't give me this business that we're stuck between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Who is this? Okay, so I'll tell you. The truth is the Braisa of Truma is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's even l'chatchila. And who is the Man D'Omar of Birkas HaMazon? That actually is going according to the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda, Imran, Bishumar, Belozef, and Azaria, who is his Rebbe, that Akori Yachma Tzorich Shiyashmi Ala Ozno. You're supposed to, but it's not Ma'akev. Shenemar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashema La'oznecha, Ma Shata Motzei Mipicha. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, it says, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, Alevavecha. It's all a question of Kavanat HaLev, which again does not mean Kavanat HaLev in terms of Yiro Kedibor, but means what you're whispering to yourself. Hein Hein Advarim. That's what's important. So now we know that there's a third shita, and that's the shita of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. As a matter of fact, now that we know there's Rabbi Meir here, Hashta Tita La'achi, so then it could be very good. Rabbi Yehuda could agree, even with Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, and then the braita that we had of Yehuda, Bereda, Reb Shimon ben Pasi, about Truma, that would be going like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, Achar Halev, Kavanat Halev, Hein Ein Advarim. So now we have basically three shitas. One shita is Rabbi Meir, one shita is Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, maybe Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that shita, maybe not, and one shita is actually Rabbi Yossi. So we have either L'chatchila, and that's Truma, a only b'diavad, and that's the Birkat HaMazon, and then even b'diavad lo yatsa, and that would be the shita legabi Kriyat Shema. And if you want to learn that our Mishnah is talking about that shita Rabbi Yossi by Kriyat Shema, so then when it says over here, Cheresh, it means even b'diavad, just like the Shaitan.